Welcome to the Prosperity Podcast, fresh, alternative personal finance talk for independent thinkers who prosper outside of Wall Street. Here's your host, best-selling author, Kim D.H. Butler, and no BS money guy, Todd Strobel.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Prosperity Podcast. This is no BS money guy, Todd Strobel. Once again, I have my co-host and continuing to be a bigger bestseller financial author every single day with the more books that are out there. And we certainly appreciate her, and we appreciate all of you who are buying those books as well. Today, we're going to be talking about multiple uses of paying premiums on life insurance. So we have a lot of people that are, they've got a limited amount of funds. They're trying to do the best thing that they can with them. And we want to make sure that everybody fully understands this ability to get multiple jobs done with each of those dollars so that it's flowing through that account, not just stuck there. Did I do that right, Kim?
That is perfect. Through, not to, are the most valuable verbs when we think about our whole life insurance premium. And this came up because a client asked the question, when can I stop paying my premium? And they're in their mid-40s. They've got good income. They've had their policies for, I don't remember, 7 to 10 years. So the answer is because they have contributed also maximum paid-up additions, they could stop pretty much any time. Now, if they hadn't contributed maximum paid-up additions, they wouldn't be able to stop paying their premium maybe for another 10 years. But having the ability to stop is very, very different from, is that the best thing to do to stop? And so that's what I want to talk about. It's the challenge that the word premium still is in our minds a cost. And that's normal because car insurance premium is a cost. Home insurance premium is a cost. And as we know, there are many other things where we use the word premium that's a cost. But we also know that we use the word premium to mean awesome good things like premium gas or the premium program or, you know, premium cut of beef or whatever it is. And so when we're thinking about premium as it relates to whole life insurance, we need to go with that second definition. So let's talk about what happens when you pay your premium. And I want to focus on all of the things that happen. Now, we've had other podcasts where we talked about how many jobs a dollar does or a premium dollar does when we run it through a life insurance policy. And we can focus on that today as well. But I really want to get clear on this concept of the word through that you brought up, not to. So your premium has the ability to run through your policy, and also get clear on the capability that that provides you, that the paying of a premium does so many good things for the policy. So let's jump in and let's just identify that every time we pay a premium, we are contributing to cash value. And when you are about 7 years into a policy, especially again, if you've put in maximum paid-up additions, a single premium going in on a particular year, now I'm talking just two, not the through part, is going to approximately increase your cash value that single year by around double the premium. Now, of course, it's not because of that single premium. The single premium doesn't double the cash value. It's all of the other years, but that single premium is causing in that particular year a doubling of the cash value. Is that making sense or is that getting confusing?
No, I think you're making sense. I would like to just clarify, though, dear 45-year-old person in the example wanted, asked you about stopping their premiums, also has the need of a good place to store their cash too, correct?
Exactly. And that's the beauty of paying a premium, is it forces an increased storage of cash. And my question back was, if you don't pay the premium, where are you going to put your cash? Because what I have found is that every family, as they get older, and this doesn't ever stop, it doesn't matter whether it's 40 to 50, 60 to 70, or 90 to 100, every family wants to have more liquid cash. And when we think about the paying of a premium as the increasing of our liquid cash, then of course we want to pay those premiums. And back to the 7-year time frame, people always look at, when am I breaking even on my life insurance policy? And there's two answers to that. There's a cumulative break even. In other words, your 1 plus your 2 plus your 3 plus your 4, how many dollars does that equal compared to my total cash value? And again, maximum paid up addition, that cumulative break even is about the 7th year. No maximum paid up addition, that cumulative break even is more like the 18th or maybe 17th year. But there's also an annual break even. In other words, if I don't consider all the years in the past, however many years, 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, it doesn't matter. I just look at this single individual year, just year 3 by itself, just year 7 by itself, just year 10 by itself. We can, again, with maximum paid up addition, show an annual break even, usually around the 2nd year. If there's not paid up additions, then we can show a break even around the 4th or the 5th year. So you'll notice in both examples that the paid up addition roughly halved, H-A-L-V-E-D, the time frame. Or you could say it this way, if you don't pay a paid up addition, it roughly doubles the time frame. So we've got to remember that paying a premium builds cash value. And yes, it does a variety of other things too. We'll talk about here in a minute. But the more and more cash that you want, cash that you, and let's use our little CLUE acronym that we have in our Live Your Life insurance book, cash that you control, cash that's liquid, cash that you can use for whatever you want, and cash that acts like equity, meaning you've got the ability to borrow against it while it keeps growing. So that's CLUE, C-L-U-E, control, liquidity, use, and equity. The more cash that we have, the more control we have, the more liquidity we have, the more capability we have, the more things we can do with that money. In other words, if we only have $25,000 of cash value, well, we could borrow against it to buy a car. But if we have $25,000 in cash value, we could borrow against it to do a bridge loan. We'll talk about that in a little bit. If we have $250,000, we could borrow against it to do down payment on a real estate deal. So we want more cash, and premium builds cash.
Premium also builds additional life insurance too.
It does. Every time you pay a premium and every time you pay a paid up addition, either or, build the death benefit. And that is a very misunderstood piece of whole life. I hear experts, quote unquote, talk about, oh, you don't get both your cash and your death benefit. And the answer is, of course, the insurance company keeps some of it. I mean, they have to make a profit. But you do get your cash in the form of an increased death benefit. $1 million death benefit is not $1 million ever again because of two things. One, there's a guaranteed increase in cash value, and that causes that death benefit to rise. And then two, if a dividend is paid, and we know that in most cases, whole life insurance companies have paid dividends for well over 100 years, that also causes that death benefit to rise. Now, we do want to make clear that if there's a loan on the policy, that the loan will be paid off before the rest of the death benefit is paid to the family. But $1 million death benefit without any paid up additions typically triples over a 30-year period. And if there's paid-up additions, it can go even higher than that. So that rising of a death benefit is a very, very important point. Now, there's some other things the premium does. Help me remember.
All right. One more thing on the death benefit. That's money that you don't ever have to qualify for either, correct?
That is correct. Boy, that's a huge point in that if you start out your life with a death benefit that is, especially on the whole life side, not going to be equal to your human life value. And human life value is 10 to 15 times income. So we want to have, let's say we have a person earning $100,000 a year and they want to have $1.5 million of total death benefit because that's their human life value, but they're only going to pay for maybe $500,000 of whole life insurance, and then they'll have $1 million of term insurance. And let's say their income never rises. Well, over time, that $500,000 whole life policy will actually grow to $1.5 million of death benefit that, as you said so well, they never have to qualify for. They never have to buy another policy. They never have to pay any more of a premium. Let's just say that their premium was $10,000 a year. And let's just forget paid-up additions for a minute. They wouldn't ever have to increase their premium, and yet over time, their death benefit would triple. That is incredible. That's one additional benefit that we get by just continuing to pay the premium.
I think it's important to talk about the minimum paid-up additions and maximum paid-up additions and the flexibility that's created.
Sure. So most insurance companies have a minimum paid-up addition of either $100 or $120. Don't ask me what the magic is around $120. That just seems to be where a lot of them sit, is one of those two numbers. And so we've got a situation where the minimum payment of, let's just call it $100, is a minimum, like literal per year, that you absolutely want to pay. And your maximum is going to be approximately 1 to 2 times your premium. Now, that maximum number, so let's just put an example. Let's say you've got a $10,000 annual premium. And let's say we calculate your maximum annual paid-up addition dollar figure on top of the premium for $12,000. That maximum moves around based on age and also based on the dividend scale, because the modified endowment contract, which is what determines the maximum paid-up addition, is based on a lot of different things. It gets tested every year, so it's a number we have to give you every year, but let's just for now say it's 12 grand. Well, then your minimum is $100, and your maximum is $12,000, and you could pay $6,000 or $2,000 or $8,000 or any other number in between. Now, there are some subsequent rules that are going to impact your maximum, and it totally depends on the company. But essentially, without getting too complicated for the blog, for our podcast here that goes on a blog, got confused there. We want to identify that literally you have between $100 and $12,000 every single year to choose how much you're going to pay your paid-up additions. Again, there's some rules that might limit that a tad, but for the most part, those are the facts.
I think a lot of our listeners are self-employed, and you know, it's not the same paycheck every year. So that is a tremendous flexibility when you can sit down at the end of the year, and these are the conversations I love to have, where the people are saying, okay, how much can we put in? Because right now in today's environment, that's the safest, most liquid place that's earning a decent rate of return.
Absolutely. And we can actually put a calculator to that rate of return. And for most of our clients today, it's going to fall in the 4 to 4.5% range. If you're in the maybe 60, 70 age range and the life insurance is on yourself, it's going to be a little bit lower than that. But that is amazing. And we want to re-identify that this is not an investment. Well, life insurance is your controllable, liquid, usable, act like equity cash, liquid cash. We need to be comparing that to the bank savings account rates of 0.2% or whatever they are, taxable, by the way, and life insurance growth is not taxed. And that is an incredible difference. So it's very, very important for people to realize the value that they have in storing liquid cash by paying a premium in their existing whole life insurance policy. Again, doesn't matter whether they own it on themselves or own it on somebody else. The paying of that premium literally should go on until they, the owner, the payer of premium, are no longer earning an income. Which means if you work until you're 70 or 80, you truly want to pay your premiums until you're 70 and 80. I will readily admit that I don't like it myself when my premium bill shows up. I know how sometimes frustrating, disappointing, scary that is, because I've been in years when I didn't have the money to pay the premium. I've been in years when I had the money to pay the premium, but I would really rather buy patio furniture. You can do both as long as you then pay the loan back from the use of that patio furniture. You can do both. Now, if you don't have the money, we've got a variety of blog posts and podcasts on what to do if you don't have the money to pay the premium. But just view your premium bill as your annual reminder to save money. And if you have more than one policy, view your premium bill as your monthly reminder to save money. Of course, some of our clients are contributing monthly on an automatic basis anyway, which is fabulous. That's a great way to do it. And some of my policies are on annual, some of them are on monthly, but I pay my premium bill some way, somehow, every single year slash month, because that builds my savings. And the more I build my controlled, liquid, usable, act like equity savings, that cash value that acts like savings, the more peace of mind I have around my overall financial situation.
You mentioned peace of mind, and I think that's another thing that we haven't yet talked about, is the fact that, you know, maybe you would feel comfortable having a larger mortgage or a nicer home because you know that you have that emergency policy in there to pay off if your relatives needed to, if something happened to you.
Yes, that's correct. And now you're talking payoff in the event of death or payoff while you're still living, but you have problems. Either way, the answer is yes. And as we've shared before, you know, we like to think of our household as a house of both. Like I gave the example earlier, we literally borrowed against our cash value to get patio furniture and then paid it back within a year or two. And of course, we borrowed against our cash value to pay our premiums when we were not doing very well. But if we have extra cash, it goes to pay the premium. If we have extra cash, it goes to pay the loan. It should always be in that order. Get your premiums paid and then the loan. And then your third spot for extra cash is the paid up additions rider.
Super. Well, we've been going on here for a little while now. Kim, do you want to make our usual offer to our listeners?
Absolutely. We have a fabulous ebook. It's called Financial Planning Has Failed. If you haven't read it or listened to it in a while, it's worth another grab. So that is partners number four, prosperity.com/ebook. It's available as about a 60-page PDF or an audio book. And we are working on some additional books. We want to do a quick thank you to everybody that downloaded the books when we had them free on Kindle. They're available on Amazon, and we'll have another one out in a couple months or so.
Super. Well, once again, this is the Prosperity Podcast. No BS Money Guy, Todd Strobel. Thanks so much, Kim Butler. And we still encourage questions. We like questions. Keep sending them in and asking questions. Take care, Kim.
Thank you for listening to the Prosperity Podcast. To take control of your money and have it work for you, visit us at partnersforprosperity.com. If you liked this episode, make sure you subscribe and leave a review.